What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Milton's going to throw on first down. He's going deep. And it's intercepted by Mingo. Badly overthrew Mingo. Badly. And waiting deep in the end zone was the young safety they absolutely love, Reuben Lowry.
Right after the Kemont Hall interception, Joe Milton chunks it up. Overthrow. Double coverage. Intercepted. And the freakout follows. On DFW Sports Station, your home of the Dallas Cowboys. Pepe, did you work the game this weekend?
I did. I was here.
All right. How was like the panic? Did they take calls in the post?
They did. Yeah, you got a lot of Milton panic. But again, you had some people that are like, look, it's backups. I'm not going to hit the panic button yet. You know, it's backups playing against backups. Nothing to look for here.
How about like Zach and Broadus talking about Joe or the state of the team?
I feel like Zach was a little bit upset. You know, he's the guy that, you know, he's been the Cowboy fan since birth, you know, so he's going to hit the panic button before anyone else does. Brian was more relaxed. I thought Brad and Bobby as well, who joined the post game. I thought it was all chill there. Wasn't anything bad.
Shoddy was asked afterwards, do you guys have your backup QB yet?
Yeah, again, I feel like I don't have to decide anything today. You know, we going to keep letting these guys practice. I just told the guys get ready because, you know, a couple practices this week are going to be really physical, and we have to. But it's like all these position battles. We don't have to decide anything now. I think, you know, like with the receivers, we were trying to get a good look at a couple of those guys that were fighting for those spots, and I thought a couple guys stepped up and did a nice job. I thought, you know, Florino had a couple nice catches. Mingo made a great catch down the boundary, and then, you know, I felt like we kind of shot ourselves in the foot with penalties when we would get some momentum, and so we got to be cleaner.
So, Coach, not freaking out, not panicking, nor should he, at least at a podium with a microphone in front of his face, but this sets up legit or loco. I did this last week. I wake up the day after, I go through my tweets and the messages sent to me, and I just throw them all in a collection and say, all right, y'all tell me, these legitimate after the preseason game with the roster that's out there, or is it loco? Typical fan freak out when it comes to the Dallas Cowboys. Take number one, legit or loco, you vote. Frank LaFrego, injury attorney, text line 877-881-1053. From DFW Sports Hot Takes. I include the handle. Schottenheimer not being concerned is the reason he's the coach, and the other reason they haven't had success with a Super Bowl in 30 years. I think someone called him Dave Campo 2.0 earlier in the show. Freak out on Brian Schottenheimer.
It's loco. Any hard takes on Schottenheimer coming out of this, good or bad, are too much. There's not a lot you're going to see here. And look, they've basically told you they know Joe Milton isn't ready by the fact that they're saying he's going to take like every single snap because they need him to get ready. So, no, I don't think you can take away anything particularly good or bad. They could, like I said earlier, they could have won 52-3 last week and 49-0 on Saturday, and it would have meant nothing in terms of if I thought Brian Schottenheimer was a good coach.
Tolo said Cowboys giving all the work to Milton so they can trade him for a seventh after giving up a fifth. It's the Cowboy way. I didn't double check these numbers because I don't care about the first two preseason games that much. But Rob said, kicker, 7 points. Defense, 6 points. Offense, 0. It's only preseason. Nothing to see here. Legit or loco with those numbers?
I mean, those are legit numbers, basically. But let me see here. So he said 7-6. So they scored 13 in this game. And then they scored... how much was against the Rams? It was 3 or whatever. Or no, they scored the touchdown late in the game. It's bad winning that game. The offense got you absolutely. The offense got you absolutely nothing. It was the kicker and Andrew Booth. That was the only scoring you got.
Yeah, first take, loco on crushing Brian Schottenheimer. And I'm not even happy with Brian after he went on KNC and not our show, breaking the 15-year run of head coaches in the morning in Oxnard. So I'm not being a homer. Curtis. Really feels like this organization is completely unserious about preseason evaluations. Every other game I watch is the complete opposite. Legit or loco?
There may be some legitimacy to that. that the idea that they I don't know that they totally use up everything at their disposal with the preseason the right way. Like I would do things different. Obviously I don't work in the NFL, so it's a little bit of just like armchair quarterbacking, but to look at it, I look at it and say I would think there would be better value in get your starters out there for a game. Get them out there for just a series. Let me see Dak work out there with the first team. Maybe that we'll get that in the next week. I don't know. Because we did introduce a few more players into this game than we're in game one. Maybe they'll do that again for game three.
Are they just too terrified to have the season end before it begins with Dak going out there for an exhibition?
Probably. Yeah.
That's just winning out. Hey, if he's rusty for the first two games, give us 0-2 versus the 2% chance he gets hurt.
If he gets hurt in a preseason game and he's lost for any amount of time, Brian Schottenheimer's getting destroyed for that. So I understand the risk versus reward of...
Well, Jerry and Steven would have to sign off on that, right?
Like, would I... No. I don't think so.
Unfair question, mm-hmm. but I'm going to ask it. That way you can get in trouble, not me. QB preseason decision pie chart with Jones's... Brian.
I mean, I think a lot of times it's also player. So, like, I think it's
well,
hard.
You know Dak wants to play. He says that.
I think he wants to get in there. He likes the reps. I think if you look at what everybody, it's hard to say because I think they're all uniform in terms of what they want. But I will say that you want to talk about does the front office, the greatest example of this is Mingo. Mingo, the front office wanted Mingo to play last year and McCarthy wouldn't put him out there. And so McCarthy was making that decision. In preseason, I think it is just, they see it the same way that they all don't think he should play. So it's hard to say who's winning out because we haven't seen a conflict there. But to me, I think the Cowboys look at it and say, I'd rather have some rust early on than potentially miss somebody for 17 games. They're clearly hyper aware of players missing time due to injury, just the way they've talked about Micah.
I thought Schottenheimer gave a great preseason answer to All City when he sat down with my guy, Jesse Holly, and he talked about his preseason philosophy.
I wouldn't read too much into what you see in preseason football in general, but even more this year. Why? Well, we're trying to evaluate certain guys. And Joe Milton's a guy that needs to play a lot of football. He's going to play a lot of football this week and then the next week. And we're certainly being smart with what we show. And why would we do that? We would do that because this is the one chance that we'll ever have here in Dallas where we don't show people in the preseason what we're doing. Because next year, they're going to have a really good idea. They're going to have hopefully 20-plus games to look at and evaluate. This year, they don't have that. Hey, are we going to be Seattle? I don't know. Are we going to be Arizona? I don't know. Well, what about, are we going to be Dallas? And I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's a good answer. I like what he's saying there, and I understand the thought process behind it. And look, I'll say this. We're getting a lot of people on the fan text right now who are talking about Dak is always rusty at the start of the season. We need him to be sharp and things. The only other situation that parallels this almost exactly was 21, which was he missed most of the season in 20. He got into 21. He didn't play in any of the preseason games due to the shoulder muscle that freaked him out. And then he went out there against Tampa week one on the road, and he went 42 of 58 for 400 yards and 3 touchdowns. He wasn't rusty then. So I think at some point with quarterbacks, a lot of teams' approach is you've seen enough football at this point, you don't need to see.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
More.
We'll take a couple calls after preseason game two. I just want to gauge how nuts we're going to get with this. 877-881-1053. 877-881-1053. If you want to judge after two games or just after the second game. Next one, Legit or Loco on Sean and Bobby. Choppy out on vacation this week. CP, the Cowboys have the worst depth in the NFL. That's what these games are showing us.
That's... Their depth is not good. I don't know if it's the worst in the NFL. It's not good. And so, I mean, that's at least in a conversation. I can't outright say it's loco because it's not good. So it's a legitimate criticism to say that their depth is a problem. Nick Eatman told us that last week when we were saying, hey, how much have you adjusted? And he's like, I think you're really seeing how much depth they lack right now. And so it's a legitimate criticism. Worst in the NFL? I don't know. I'm sure New Orleans may be worse or somebody like that. I'm sure there is somebody worse, but it's not outright insane to say their depth is awful.
All right, hit us up on the Franklin Franco text line with star up, star down, your reviews, or legit or loco. And then Rob, literally a $10 billion franchise, and we have a JV coach. So we already touched on Schottenheimer.
Can I say one thing that has excited me so far about this preseason, though? There's one player, there's one player who has stood out to me in the games and the practices and everything else that I say that's been nothing but encouraging the whole way, and that's Marshawn Nyland. I think Marshawn Nyland has been so good in these practices. I think he showed up again in this game. The biggest concern about him was they said, all right, look, he's a run defender right now. He can be that at the NFL level. The question is, can he develop the tools? He's got the toolbox. Can he create it and become a decent pass rusher? I think you're seeing this year, he's putting it together. He's starting to develop into a guy who can pass rush at the NFL level.
Michael, you are live on the home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan. Go ahead, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
Morning. What's up?
I've been meaning to call y'all for a couple of weeks, I grew up a Jets fan, so I feel the pain, but I've been watching the preseason this year, and I feel like the Cowboys, and I've lived in Texas most of my life. I just was born in the Northeast, but I feel like this year the Cowboys are the worst. This is the worst version of the Cowboys I've seen in my 35 years or 25 years, whatever you want to say, you know, how long I've been watching. They don't move the line of scrimmage. And they're terrible on defense. They can't cover anybody. And so I just.
But, Michael, how much does it matter to you that it's not really the starters?
It does. It does matter a little bit. Like, I get Dax not out there that much. You know, CD, all those guys are not out there that much. Micah Parsons hasn't been out here. But, like, you still got to have cats that can play. You know, you still got to have those guys that got to come in and be able to play. And I don't see many players on this dang football team. We don't control either side of the line of scrimmage. And like I said, we can't cover a soul. And I get Diggs is out, and I get Bland hasn't played that much. You know,
yeah.
I get we got young guys playing. But there's I watch the Jets, and I'm like, they're moving the line of scrimmage. They're doing those things. They're able to cover people. We're not, you know, and it's not apples to apples, but it's still.
And, Mike, let me ask you this question. Who do you think will have a better record this year?
I honestly, just from what we got going, and quarterback's huge. Quarterback's huge. Justin Fields has got to perform for my Jets, and that's the end of the deal. But defensively, the Jets will be a better defense, but the offense may kill them, turn the ball over too much, right, and that stuff, and we'll lose more games, right? And Dak may have the MVP career we've all been waiting for. I'm not counting on it, but he may have that, and that'll push them over the top. But right now, if I was put money on it, it's not much, but I'd put more on the Jets than the Cowboys right now.
Thanks for the call, boss. Appreciate you.
I'm terrified about the defense. The defense does scare me. I
Man, someone had tweeted, and again, it's coming from those fake aggregators who were not in Oxnard. DA tweeted, so if Joe Milton was cooking in practice, how bad is the effing defense? I got questions.
The defense is not.
He wasn't cooking.
No, he wasn't. That was a misrepresentation. But the defense is just, I'm concerned about the in general, we're reversing philosophy from what they have been under Quinn.
Because of the preseason and what you've seen?
No, I mean, I had some reservations just in general about what the defense was going to look like this offseason. And then I think what you've seen in the practices and some of their personnel and some of, not as much with the preseason, but obviously like a guy like Mozzie playing poorly or not showing up is going to impact some of what I think the defense can do. Some of the stuff with Jay Toia just not being consistent, a defensive tackle, has been a little concerning. My thing is I don't trust the secondary at all. I don't know what the linebackers are going to be, and I don't know consistently what they have to stop the run on the interior. Those are all big questions. And Eberflus is a different scheme. It's a different style. It's going to look more like the Rod Marinelli defenses, which you won with. You could win with those occasionally, but it's going to look more like those defenses than the ones that you had under Dan Quinn.
Five highest graded players for the Cowboys in week two. Andrew Booth, this is PFF, a 91.8. Troy Pride, Bob, you gave him a star up, 83.8.
Did they have Joe Milton? That would seem like something they would do.
Princeton Fant, Jack Sanborn, and Ernest Brown. Also left tackle, someone that you were praising in California. Nate Thomas has allowed two pressures on 38 total snaps this preseason, 22 pass blocking reps.
Yeah, did not think he was as good this game as he was last game. In general, I didn't think the offensive line was as good as they were the last game, but it was nice to see Booker get out there and show up in the pass blocking and then continue to get better as the run game went on.
Jason in Dallas, you're on the D&M Leasing Hotline with Sean and Bobby. Go ahead, brother.
Good morning, guys. How are y'all?
What's up?
So I'm terrified of the defense, like Bobby said. I don't know how it's going to turn out, but I'm even more terrified about the depth of any position, really, because I was talking the other day. I called into the show, and this team is just one starting player being injured, and there's no depth behind it. But I've got a question for Bobby.
Hit me.
How much does it play into effect whenever, you know, we've had three defensive coordinators over the last, 4 years?
Mm-hmm. Three years,
you
yeah.
So you got like people that are like sponsors for a player, you know, that like Dan Quinn drafted this guy, and then you switch, and then Mike McCarthy or Mike Zimmer doesn't like this guy, so that guy, they got no depth because all these people that have just been interchanged throughout the last 3 years.
Yeah, that can be a problem. There's no doubt about it. The guy that stands out to this, we talked about it during the pregame show the other day, Kalen Carson was a guy that the last staff really loved. I don't know that the new staff likes him. They may, but I don't know that they do. And it certainly has been a problem where when you look at coaching changes, it always impacts somebody negatively. It always helps somebody in one way, but it can impact them negatively. Terrence Steele performed really well with Joe Philbin. There were a lot of other guys on this offensive line who did not. And then when the switch was made to Solari, it's like, okay, well, there were some improvements for some guys. Tyler Smith, it was probably helpful that they went to Mike Solari over Joe Philbin. It hurt Terrence Steele. So, yeah, this sort of thing always will cause issues for guys. And that's why, as much as it makes everybody roll their eyes, and I agree with it at some points, it's why the Cowboys are so big on continuity. The idea of just like, let's look, as long as we are happy with our coaching staff and we don't think they're an outright detriment or something like that, there's a lot of benefit to just saying, let's carry over the same messaging and let everybody grow under the same philosophy.
Harrison and Mesquite, you get the final word right now during the expressway in Legit or Loco. Go ahead, Harrison.
Hey, guys. I think we're missing the secondary coach.
Al Harris?
Was it? Yeah, big time. He developed Diggs and Bland. And I can see the difference in the secondary. The first half, our defense, man, that run game that Baltimore put on us, it reminded me of last year. Man, they was running wild in the first quarter. It was no resistance. And the other two callers, I think they were good calls. The quarterback issue, man, we should have took Shador. Man, this yep. experiment is over with. It's crazy to me. I mean, you can't run no offense. So how can you watch the rest of your team? It's great. You may get a good pass every once in a while, but he's just an athlete. It's a difference between a quarterback and an athlete. He's just an athlete, guys. I don't see him develop.
Good call, Harrison.
Yeah, look, I mean, the traits are so rare that I understand them wanting to say, let's invest the time. It's similar to the guy I keep comparing him to. He's Joey Gallo, basically, to me. Where it's like the dude can hit 500-foot home runs and then he's going to strike out 12 times in a row too. Like it's something where you go, the traits are still so rare that you go, I got to see if I can turn him into a baseball player. I'm sorry. Like I got to put in the time on it. So I don't hate what they gave up for him. I understand it. I understand what you're trying to develop. I think Shador's got a better chance to be a good player in the NFL than Joe Milton does. Joe Milton has a chance to be a great player. Shador doesn't. Just by the traits, Joe Milton's got that chance. It's not a big chance, but it's at least there as an opportunity. So I understand the investment and why they want to give this a shot.
Tolo, Chris, before best and worst of the weekend, the phrase unserious continues to permeate this franchise. It's not just how the preseason has gone thus far, rather a continued indifference to addressing glaring holes on the team while alienating star players with prolonged tense negotiations where they ultimately completely fold. They continue to hang the hat on the franchise based on almost three decades old achievements. Based on the ages of current players, only a quarter of the roster was even alive the last time they went to a conference title game. Break the status quo. Maybe things will change. I laughed as I typed that knowing it will never happen.
Yeah, and I will say this, though. There are a lot of things you can criticize them for that I think are fair. I don't know how much they still hang their hat on we won three Super Bowls in the 90s. Like, they obviously, that's part of their legacy and different things that they're doing.
You don't think Jerry does?
No, I think Jerry is very proud of it. I think Jerry doesn't routinely look back at that. I know Steven doesn't. Steven certainly doesn't point to that very often. So, I mean, yeah, it's something that they'll reference and talk about. It's a trump card occasionally for them in a screaming match on the radio or something like that. Yeah. But in general, I don't think they actively think, well, we won three Super Bowls in the 90s, so clearly we know what we're doing. I think they're very frustrated by their struggles.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.